so do you really want to do this? And this is the XYZ result. And you're like, no, crap. Okay, fine. No, I don't want to do it, Mom. You just dadded me, Billy.
Hello, Addison.
Billy, I'm glad we're here, everyone.
Very excited about episode 7. Episode 6, I thought, was really good. I thought episode 7 is shaping up to be fantastic. Really a pivotal episode, but we'll get there. We got to talk about some things first, I think.
Do you want to talk about the surprise death?
Yeah, were you some... Let's start right there. So this is a recap of episode 6. If you're new to the podcast and you haven't watched episode 6 yet, I mean, this is going to be a little awkward, but there was a big surprise death. Were you more surprised by who was killed or who the shooter was?
I kind of wasn't surprised by either.
No, okay.
Like, the one who died was annoying. You knew that he was on shaky ground. And then the other guy, his whole purpose is to protect.
Yeah, but he had been such a shaky character so far. We just hadn't really seen too much of him. He's been sort of a babysitter. And I think we've allowed enough time now to let people who haven't watched skedaddle. So we can talk with full candor. Chet, I think we all thought Chet was going to get killed. And this was his episode. Chet gets kind of gassed up by Rob Will, who really calls him his brother and beats him all up. And he goes charging. He's going to take care of Joaquin for stabbing him in the back. And he shoots him in the hand, and then, well, things didn't turn out great after that.
Oh, me! You shot me! You son of a bitch!
Wait, you two-faced piece of shit! Okay, now I cut it off before the bullet hits the head, because that was pretty graphic.
Thank you.
R.I.P. Chet, I think this is the third major character to die in Dutton Ranch. Am I counting correctly?
Who was the second? Dwight?
Well, Dwight, and then Wes, the ranch hand at the beginning of the series. Those are our three deaths, I believe.
I could do without Chet. Like Joaquin we needed. No offense, Chet.
I was just a little surprised that Chet died so soon. I thought he'd be a pretty pivotal part of Rob Will's sort of quest to gain control of the ranch again. I had a chance last week to talk to Berto Colon, who plays Miguel, and that's Oriana's babysitter's name. People keep calling him Oriana's babysitter.
It's calling him the babysitter gets me every single time.
I feel like that's a little demeaning.
It is. But that's what a little? Very.
He was Beulah's security detail, and he talked a little bit about filming that scene.
There's always so much mutual respect. I love Hart. But I just like, he got out of a cab. I was going in the hotel or coming out and I just like dropped what I was doing. And I just went up to him and I just gave him a big hug. And it was like such a bummer, right? Like, it's not like Chet didn't deserve it.
Oh, no. I had him as like my most likely to go next.
Most likely. And so, you know, in the story, you know, that's what made it a little bit easier for me to swallow was because, you know, we have a job to do.
Kim, I hadn't seen that clip yet. He's cool.
He was a lot of fun. He talked a little bit about his scenes with Oriana as well, because he's the father to teenage daughters. And he said that was kind of his cheat code when doing those scenes with Oriana, who Natalie Lin sounds like just like a wonderful person, like super fun off screen. But on screen, especially with Miguel, she's forced to kind of play this. I mean, she's not nice to him, right? She's pretty nasty. So they kind of have to turn it on and off like that. And he said that was a lot of fun to do week to week.
So, I mean, that's pretty much on that. There was a part of me that thought maybe Rip was going to be the one to shoot him. So I was maybe a little bit surprised when it was Berto Colon's character.
Miguel,
thank you. I literally went blank and I was like, help. But I think that's a way, I think by Rip not being the one to shoot him, I think it's because it's keeping his slate blank.
Yeah, Rip hasn't killed anybody yet this series, has he?
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
And I think, like, we often compare this show to Yellowstone, like, in terms of number of deaths, far fewer deaths on Dutton Ranch than we saw in season one of Yellowstone. I once upon a time kept a running tab of all the deaths of season one of Yellowstone. There was far more. There was probably more in the first episode of Yellowstone than there has been in Dutton Ranch season one so far. I think that's going to change, but so far it's not quite as deadly of a show as we've had in the past.
Some people are asking, what about Everett and Beulah's scene? Well, we have a lot coming up this episode. I mean, we should talk about Carter and Oriana's scene. Also, Beulah dropping some Jamie Dutton information that I'm like, girl, wait a minute. How do you know that? And also, Joaquin and Rip, that moment in the truck, potential line there. Also, Oriana, I left this episode thinking, do I trust you? Oh, no.
I think that's a great segue to the poll question this week, which is focused on Oriana. And it's a question of, do you trust Oriana? And the exact question is, at the end of season one, Oriana will A, end up dead, B, end up in jail, C, end up with Carter, or D, end up running the Ted Petal Ranch. Addison, how do you feel about that?
Running the Ted Petal Ranch.
Okay. I think she's going to jail, or she's going to end up dead.
Maybe jail. She's not dying. She's not dying. I'll die on that hill. She's not dying.
This is a little bit of my episode 7 preview that's coming up here, but I saw some things that make me think Oriana may not make it to season 2. We've seen it before with these shows, right? I mean, Elsa Dutton.
True. But what if she ends up pregnant? Ratch Beth Huff 4943 says in the comments, sorry if I messed that username up, but that would be kind of epic. Becomes pregnant, goes to jail, pregnant in jail. That leads a whole.
I'm hoping not. A pregnancy would really. Yeah, I've seen that before. I suppose it's possible, but I'm hoping for a little bit better there. The poll results, by the way, 43% of people believe that Oriana is going to end up with Carter, followed by 27% who think she'll end up in jail, and then 21% think she'll wind up running the 10 petal, and just 9% of people think that she'll end up dead.
Let's break down. I mean, we're going to talk about Oriana and Carter. Let's break down kind of the coupling in situations that we saw in episode 6, starting with Beulah and Everett.
Get you some, boy.
That's how I best describe what happened in this episode. They are at least hookup buddies.
Yeah, I think they're kind of an item, right? Like, yeah. At the beginning, he comes down, his hair is all tousled, but then she invites him to this big party that she's throwing, and he says he'll gladly be her date. So it sounds like they're a little bit more than just friends with benefits. I feel like maybe the relationship is rekindling between them, for better or worse.
And you know what? I don't hate it. I thought I would, and I don't hate it.
It's really difficult to get a grasp on who Beulah is right now, isn't it? Like, I thought going into this series, she was the villain.
Uh-huh.
Now, kind of 6 episodes in, I'm thinking to myself, well, gosh, she could become an ally of Beth's and a friend slash lover of Everett's, 2 characters that we're rooting for. Maybe she's not a villain. Maybe she's a victim. We still have 3 episodes left, though. So my heart's guarded. I guess. I agree with you, but my heart is guarded.
My heart's guarded, but I don't feel as strongly as I have in the past of other, let's say, darker or less trusting figures in the Yellowstone franchise. Like, I'm giving her space to warm up for me.
I feel towards her kind of how I felt towards Sheriff Donnie Haskell in Yellowstone. Like, suspicious of him. He can really mess some things up. Kind of liked him because he's kind of friends with the Duttons. but keep him at a little bit of an arm's length.
Yeah, we'll see with her. I definitely liked her when Beth and Beulah are on the private jet to go do some business together. I really like those two characters, at least so far on screen together. And this is something so random, it has nothing to do with the characters, but you know what I appreciated? You know, sometimes when in movies or television and they're driving the car and the person's doing this with the steering wheel and I'm like, that's not how you actually drive a car. I appreciated, did you notice on the private jet there was slight turbulence, which if you've ever been on a private jet, as soon as I just said that, I was like, this is so dumb. There's more turbulence, or even do American Eagle, a smaller airplane than a big commercial airplane. You experience more turbulence. And Billy, okay, the reason why I'm saying this is, yes, I have flown on a private jet before, but it's because I used to work for the SEC Network, and in college, when I was at A&M, I traveled with the volleyball team. Volleyball flew private. That's the only reason why I was on those airplanes.
Quick, informal watcher poll. If you have flown a PJ, drop a comment, and if you have not flown private, let us know. I'm in the not category. And I just want it on the record that I said nothing and you got all defensive there.
It was in the eyes. You were going, oh, here she goes again. And I had to clarify why I had been on one of those. It's because
Addison,
I was a
you
peasant.
Are who you are. You just got to own it. Okay. Point made with regards to the private jet.
I just appreciate the attention to detail. Beth was kind of, you know, quaking around, and it's just little things like that, like the HEB crackers, that it's subtle and I appreciate it. That's what I meant by this.
Well, I also geek out on some of the finer details. They go to visit with Frontier Hospitality, which is actually a real hospitality group based in Davenport, Iowa, and they have a meeting with Zane Nash, who's the CEO. That's a fake name. That's a fake CEO. And it goes well, right? We learn a lot more about Beulah's history and her family history and how they got that cattle, and it turns out it's kind of gritty. We share a little bit more about Beth, but she kind of deflects instead of talking about the Dutton family line. But I think the big takeaway is not only are they really, really good salespeople, Beth and Beulah clearly have much, much more in common than they do to separate them. And by the end, they start to bond over that over drinks, which is fun.
So much fun.
I thought that the final scene... Well, there was two scenes at the end, and one I have a clip of, one I do not. But did you think that they were kind of getting pretty drunk? Like they were well into their third, fourth, or fifth glass of whatever they were sipping?
That's interesting. No, I didn't think that. Why do you feel that way?
Beulah was for sure. I thought Beulah was for sure, because she was getting kind of, you know, like drunk grandma talk. You know,
you're
I don't know if you have a
girl.
Drunk grandma on your side or not.
You're my girl. No, that didn't cross my mind.
Beulah shares a little bit more about Rob Will and Joaquin and how they came to be.
His daddy died in an awful flood before he was born. Then little baby Joaquin was dropped in my lap by a ranch hand who he got on the wrong side of the law.
Well, this answered your question about Everett being one of the fathers. Remember we had that moment where we're like, maybe Rob Will is Everett's son?
Yep. It sounds like if she's telling the truth, Rob Will's father died, and that allows us to update the family tree once again here. And you see we have Joaquin adopted by Beulah. We still believe Mariano is the father. This would be the ranch hand who ended up on the wrong side of the law, because that tracks what we think about Mariano running a drug business that is funneled through the beef and the cattle. And we don't really know who Rob Will's father is, but we know that he's dead.
And I don't think we're really going to, I don't think it's going to be important to know who he is. I could be wrong.
I do think that maybe we need to know who Oriana's mother is, don't you?
Because
it's just sort of out there. Like, we know her father is Rob Will. Who's the mom? They need to refer to her, I feel like.
It's kind of like the Disney movies. If you've noticed, the mom either gets killed off or she doesn't exist, and we never get closure there.
We see Bambi's mom die.
But like, like Snow White, Cinderella. Think about it. Speaking of Oriana, I hated this moment for Carter. Sweet Carter is falling in love. His guards are down. He says, Oriana, I think I love you. And she's like, I don't think you do. And I'm like, Oriana, you brat.
Oriana.
Yeah.
I think I love you.
I think either of us really know what love is.
Straight to my heart.
I feel for Carter because I feel like I've been there in my teenage past where maybe I dropped an L-bomb that was way too soon, not fully meant and considered, and it kind of got thrown back in my face. I think many a teenage boy has done just that. And maybe not even teenage boys. I'm sure that's a teenage thing to do, right? Is to say I love you to the first girl that takes her top off for you, or whatever the case may be for Oriana.
I was like, maybe that's not like the exact scenario.
Well, it feels like love at the time.
Yeah, in Carter's scenario. Yeah, I know. And then that scene kind of made me think, wait, maybe Oriana isn't good for you.
So, in my opinion, this scene kind of tied up one of the biggest loopholes we've had with this season of Dutton Ranch. And that is why we had Dwight White. It doesn't quite tie up the leopard, but it explains Dwight White's presence on the show. I felt like his presence and that relationship between Dwight and Carter inspired a real change in Carter. That now he's telling Oriana just prior to dropping the L-bomb, he doesn't want to be Beth and Rips. He wants to do his own thing and think for himself because he doesn't feel like he's been able to do that really his entire life because, you know, his mom died when he was 11. His dad OD'd when he was 14. He was taken care of by Beth and Rip, who have been great to him. But now he's wanting to assert some independence. Dwight sort of gave him the freedom to do that a little bit. Even though Dwight was not a good person, like, he at least treated them like an equal in a lot of ways. Am I reading too much into that scene, or do you agree?
I mean, a little part of me feels you're reading into it too much, but it would justify why Dwight existed.
I don't get the leopard fully.
I don't either. I'm telling. I mean, you know my theory. You know my theory of how that's all going to continue to go down. So that still sticks because that's the only. I'm like, why else do you exist?
Yeah. What episode is the care helicopter in? That's a good question here because we keep waiting for that. This is from the trailer of the show. And if you're just kind of tuning in here to the Dutton Rules podcast for the first time, you can drop a comment there in the chat and we put a lot of them on screen. It's truly a good conversation here. And we'll respond to some of those sort of in real time. For instance, why was Dwight not a good person? Well, he committed a lot of crimes, I think. That would be the reason. Are all criminals bad people? No, but that's all we really know about him. Is he sat around all day, probably had an illegal leopard on his land, and had some insurance fraud. So those are kind of three strikes in the not a good person category. No offense to anybody who's watching who might also have a leopard, be committing insurance fraud, and drink a 12-pack of beer before noon.
Staff at tasteofcountry.com. No, I'm just kidding. It's where you can tell us now. Let's talk Rip and Joaquin. The moment where Rip pulls Joaquin into the car after his hand has been shot by Chet and says, I'm going to take you, you know, to a doctor, which I knew he was going to Everett's house. Like, that writing was on the wall. But he stops the car halfway through and says, why did you put that body on my land?
Wes Ayers was one of our hands. He was also Rob Will and Chet's dealer. I don't know how long ago it started, but it spun out of control.
Joaquin explains to Rip that it was Rob Will that did it, and that's why they shot Wes. But he tells a lie there. Like, Wes was not a drug dealer. Like, he was a family man with the baby, dedicated. So why is Joaquin telling that lie, and why is he so good at making up a lie on the spot?
Because he's bad to the bone.
I think so. Like, I've been trying to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt up to this point, but I think he's probably more involved in what we believe is a drug trade than we know at this point in the series.
I agree.
Do you think he truly knew? Well, let me get to this next part. Rip asks, where's Rob Will now?
Sacred Mesa rehab facility in Sedona. After that, I've lined up a job in Botswana. He will take disgruntled princes like himself to slaughter elephants so they can pretend to be heroic knights.
Do you think that's the truth, or do you think that he knows where Rob Will is and he's working with Rob Will?
I kind of think he does know that. He genuinely thinks that Rob Will is still in rehab because he's the one that told Beulah, like, he actually needs to go away. So he was kind of the one in the very beginning pushing it so hard that I kind of think that he's unaware that Rob Will is out.
Okay.
You don't agree with me.
No, I do agree with you. I don't think he and Rob Will are allies. They might kind of have the same goal in mind. They want to, they don't want what Beulah wants, but I don't think they're going to work together to get it. So that maybe it's a three-way power struggle by the end of this series.
Be interesting.
Did anything else happen? Nothing else happened really in that scene in particular. He goes to see Everett. Everett stitches up his hand. Mm-mm. And everything's good to go. We got Chet dead. That's kind of the meat of that sequence, although I think it'll rear its head this next coming episode. What did you make about the end of the conversation between Beth and Beulah? Beulah seems like we've seen a lot of clips from upcoming episodes where Beulah seems intent on getting as much information as she can about Beth and Rip. And mm-hmm. then she brings up Jamie Dutton in a way, and she was clearly fishing for something. Like, she wants to know if Beth knows a little bit more about her brother died. I feel like she's kind of successful because Beth dodges the topic a little bit. Do you think that was just kind of tipsy Beulah talk, or do you think Beulah was trying to get at something?
I think everyone's confused how he just disappeared, how Jamie just, bye-bye. So I think as she's digging more into it, I do think it's intentional of, like, something's fishy here. There's secrets. I don't know what those secrets are, but there's something.
How would you feel if the Jamie Dutton plotline kind of became entwined with this show?
I'd love it.
You would?
Let's bring it back.
Yeah. You want to see Beth kind of ensnared in that whole drama and having to defend herself and fight off those rumors?
Okay, well, when you say it like that, you make it sound like this is about to be a big ordeal, so I guess no, but yeah, a little bit.
Well, I mean, what do you imagine happening?
It's like when a parent says, so do you really want to do this, and this is the XYZ result, and you're like, no, crap, okay, fine, no, I don't want to do it, Mom. That's exactly, you just dadded me, Billy.
I was trying really hard to be fair and non-judgmental there. I did not succeed?
No. Bunch of bull crap. Okay, so clearly you think differently.
I do. I do. I feel like that's done with. I don't want to see, like, Montana meet Texas, really, in any sort of way. Like, people are thinking maybe Marshall's is going to meet Dutton Ranch. Like, at most, I'll take, like, one of those cowboys stumbling onto the Dutton Ranch. Like, give me a what's Ian Bowen's character's name? Ryan. Give me a Ryan or a Teeter. Like, a Teeter appearance, I'm here for it.
Billy, Teeter, just let that one go. You're not seeing Teeter.
No, probably not, but I'd be okay if I did, right? Like, just for, like, an episode. But, like, this whole plot line where we have to kind of rewrite and extend the Yellowstone, it just feels like that thread is already pretty bare. So, I don't know if I'm here for that again. Okay, hey, listen, we can disagree if you want. Mark checking in says he thinks episode 7 looks good. I think Mariana will show up in the last episode like Andy Garcia did in Landman to be the main villain in season 2. I think that's a pretty solid theory. And there's one other here that I'm trying to get on the screen. Did anyone else get the part where Beth and Beulah were in the meeting and there was a reference to John Wayne when Beth sees the Spurs and he refers to the movie called The Searchers? I did, because they talk about the Duke, and I looked that movie up. I haven't seen that movie. It's like 60 years old, but it's considered to be one of the 100 best films of all time, an early John Wayne movie. So a nice little piece of cowboy history there on the desk of Zane Nash. Thank you for noticing those little details. Everybody knows we really kind of appreciate that kind of thing.
And there was a lot of cool cowboy stuff this episode.
So much. And it was pretty good. Like, not only the action sequence, but we got a sense that Azul knows those guys from the Ten Petal a little bit better than maybe we were led to believe. And that was what Yellowstone always did best. It managed to find a place for that between, like, mm-hmm. the tense drama. And it really made the pace of the show much more enjoyable. And I thought this episode of Dutton Ranch in particular, and some others have as well, felt like Yellowstone in that kind of way. Like, the pace was very good, but there was still a cliffhanger and a lot to talk about and look forward to for next week.
Big Joe 1013 is asking, do we think the story will be wrapped up in one season? I don't think so. If it is wrapped up, why would we want a second?
I think that theory that maybe the main villain for season 2 will appear at the end of season 1, I think that is a solid theory. I think it will wrap up in a sense, but I don't know if every thread will wrap up. There'll be a little bit of a cliffhanger. I mean, all good shows do that, right? Like, even season 2 of Landman ended with a little cliffhanger, that Oil Avengers, if you recall.
I know, I kind of want to, I told you I'm reading a book right now talking about the big, is it the big four? Who like started the oil world in the U.S.? I like kind of want that for like cowboys, the Western ranching world. Anyways, if anyone knows of that, let me know. Speaking of kind of a preview, I know that I have not seen the trailer for episode 7 yet. I know that you are geeking out about it. I'm curious.
Episode 7 is called, I believe, Den of Sin, if I'm not mistaken. And we're going to watch the full 30-second trailer, and then we're going to go back and kind of freeze on some key points in the trailer that I think illustrate what's about to happen in episode 7, 8, or 9.
What are you doing here?
Have a seat.
On the next episode of Dutton Ranch.
As of tonight, I intend to pass the reins on to the next generation.
The second you've had enough, just walk away, find a quiet place.
Having fun?
Time of my life.
Female has a gun and is shooting someone.
That's one.
A female, right?
I believe it was.
Yeah, it looks like a woman. But who? I don't know. It doesn't look like Beulah. Maybe Beth?
Well, it looks like a kind of a rough building, right? Like, this isn't a high-class place that she's behind, because she's behind those vinyl blinds, and they're all kind of tore up like a dog's been attacking them. Whitney?
That's a good
point. You know, Wes's wife, Whitney, is she shooting at someone?
That's true, because I've been asking where Rob Will? No, Rob Will can't die just coming back from... Yeah, it can't be.
Yeah, so that leaves Joaquin or maybe one of the ranch hands, but I can't see her.
Joaquin, Joaquin is too bougie. Joaquin ain't living somewhere like that.
No, but he might find her and go pay her a visit. He's already done that once this season.
Hmm. Okay, and then I'm trying to think of what else.
I don't think it's Beth, though, right? Are you in agreement? You know, that does not look like Beth's form to me.
No, see, I think it could be Beth. It doesn't look like Beulah. Beth, that's the only person.
Beth stands up taller and is a little bit more regal. But anyway, it could be, but that's not necessarily what I think. But so the other one was this. And this is at the very beginning. Rob Will surprises Beulah with a visit. And look who else is in the room. And look at her expression. Oriana.
And Oriana looked
like satisfied.
Yeah, I was about to say she looked like she knew. So we've already figured out that Oriana is team Rob Will, which that makes sense because it's her father.
This is why I think Oriana could end up dead, is because if she's team Rob Will, Carter, she at some point is going to have to make a choice between Rob Will and Carter. And it ain't looking good for our boy right now. Like, I feel like Carter is going to have his heart smashed even more than it kind of already is. And there's no way we get to the end of the season without Rip killing Rob Will. That's just my prediction. I feel like Rip's going to put a bullet in his head, and that's going to make Thanksgiving dinner between Carter and Oriana really awkward.
I just realized that I bet that's who, remember when she was on the boat and she's like, we've got to go. I bet Rob Will was calling her.
Yeah.
Texting her.
Yeah.
That didn't hit me until right now.
Oh, you don't know. 100%. I think that's who it is. And it probably has to do with, I mean, the overall plot of this upcoming episode is Beulah holding this celebration for her ranch's 190th birthday. And mm-hmm. she appears set to pass it down to the next generation, whoever that is. I don't know who that is. Like Joaquin? Is that who she's passing it down to?
I'd assume so, because... Yeah.
But then Rob Will and Oriana are standing together, looking quite perturbed, mm-hmm. on site while that happens. So, I'm not 100% sure where that leads, I guess. But the power struggle really begins in earnest here, and this is, I think, where maybe Oriana has her heel turn and she becomes full villain in this episode.
We'll have to see.
I'm okay with it.
I don't know how I feel.
It's going to be a good episode, though. So that drops on Sunday, and of course we'll break that down next Tuesday as we get to... Really, next Tuesday when we talk, it's just going to be two more episodes, because we're getting towards the very end of this show. What have you thought so far? Like, if you were to compare this show, give it a grade on season one of Dutton Ranch through six episodes.
I'd give it an 8. I've really enjoyed watching it. I would watch it on my own time.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I thought of the six episodes, there was one I thought was a little less than. But I thought the other five were very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take that from any show.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Well, we are moving along on this podcast, and the next thing I have for us is to talk about last week's trivia and then this week's trivia.
Trivia this week. As always, it's for one of the Dutton Rules t-shirts at Taste of Country Store, and you can search that. A number of people who have won in previous weeks have reached out wondering why they haven't gotten a contact or they got in their t-shirt. I tend to send these in batches. I wait till there's 3 or 4 and then I email everybody. So if you don't get an immediate response, I'll get you. I promise. But we'll get you that t-shirt. It's the first person, or it's one correct answer from all correct answers, either in the comment section of the video, or you can email staff@tasteofcountry.com. And last week's trivia question was a little confusing. A little verbose, but it was this. Oriana actress Natalia Lind has several famous family members, including one that portrayed a very famous country singer. Who is that actress, and who is that singer?
The answer is...
The answer, Dolly Parton. She portrayed young Dolly Parton.
Oh.
Olivia Alin Lind. This is Natalie's sister, portrayed young Dolly Parton in a pair of Coat of Many Color movies on ABC. I think Natalie has two other sisters that act. And her mom also is an accomplished actress in her own right. My apologies, I did not write down the name of the winner, so I cannot give that person their accolades at this point, but we'll be in touch very soon.
This week's trivia.
Once again, for a Dutton Rules t-shirt, Taste of Country Store... This one's more difficult. While talking to Zane Nash, Beulah and Beth note a pair of McChesney spurs on his desk. That was from the 1956 film The Searchers, starring John Wayne. We talked about that a little bit. This is the second time that a famous spur maker was hat-tipped in a Yellowstone production. Who was the first?
I literally remember that scene and we talked about it, and he died in real life.
Correct. It was one of the most shoehorned scenes, I thought, in Yellowstone franchise history, but an appropriate tribute to someone who, as it turns out, is a pretty big legend in that world. So first answer, or one correct answer chosen from all correct answers at staff@tasteofcountry.com, or you can drop it in the comments section. And I appreciate all the feedback here. Another great audience for this chat, by the way. We're up to near our record in concurrent viewers, which we appreciate. We've continued to have a good audience week to week. So thank you so much for tuning back in and finding us on Tuesdays. A bit of an odd time. I know it takes a little bit of work to get there, but we do appreciate you.
We're going to move on to our Q&A, and the first one I have is from BigKills2608 on YouTube, who says, never say I love you first if you are a guy. Always allow the girl to say it first. I don't know if I agree. I feel like in my previous relationships, I actually was not the one who said it first. I guess it all just depends.
I don't think it's a bad rule to live by. I got to be honest. Like, I feel...
Wait, why? I think it's kind of like it's a risk either way. Like if I say I love you first, like the guy could not say it and then I'm stewing in my head.
I feel like saying I love you is a little bit like proposing marriage where you need to be 100% certain of the answer before you ask the question. Like you can't just...
Wouldn't it be the same thing though of like for a female? Like I better be 100% certain before I say I love you. So really, just it's a risky either way.
I feel like women can get a little bit more forgiveness for being overly emotional in a moment. Like we can kind of move on past that. Whereas a guy is like, ooh, this guy, you say I love you, then you're pretty quickly, you're on a slippery slope down to like being kind of a creeper or a
love
stalker.
Bombing.
Yes, yeah. It's a slippery slope there. And that you can't recover from as a guy. A girl who says that all they're at risk of is being a little bit crazy, and crazy girls, they're still lovable.
Crazy girl, don't you know that I love you? Country song
Carter,
says about
it. Doing, my man. Carter, like, they've had like 3 dates and he's doing it, buddy. Like, you need some more experiences.
The next one is on YouTube from SK God Jikian. Did I say that correct?
Yeah, tough name.
Writes, am I the only one that thinks Oriana's babysitter called the cops on Dwight about having a leopard?
This is a very popular theory that Miguel is responsible for calling the cops because remember he dropped her off or picked her up from Dwight's ranch. So maybe he saw the leopard. I don't know what his motive would be for that.
Yeah, there wouldn't be in my eyes. It's like, what do you gain from that? You don't.
Yeah. I just don't think we're going to see the leopard again. I think, like Lugnuts, we got to let this one go.
We're seeing the leopard again, but I digress. Okay, the last one I have is on YouTube from Nina AD, who says, please don't take offense to this, but you look like Steve Shrilla, and I hate that because I love listening to you and you're a great storyteller. I'm sorry. Is that you? Who's Steve?
Is the father of Mackenzie Shrilla, who had a documentary called The Crash made about her.
I'm looking
Shrilla
this
the Killer. And I got to be honest, Addison, I just don't see the resemblance. Fact,
I don't know
I feel
what
like
you're
that's
saying.
A bit, I feel like that's a little bit, I don't know, similar eye shape maybe.
Yeah, definitely. I think the beard and the facial hair, yeah, definitely. You know, I can kind of see. I don't know if I see it. I think it's just the facial hair. Oh, people
I'll tell you
are
who that
green.
Looks like. Shrilla looks a little bit like this guy.
About your AI version? Your fan art?
Little thicker beard. little more tired eyes. Maybe that's the case, but we appreciate you. That was a complimentary email, a comment, by the way. She appreciated the show overall. So hashtag justice for the leopard. Should we give the leopard a name?
Fiona.
Well, Dwight called her Xena, and I didn't really care for that. So I'm good with Fiona.
That was literally the first name that popped into my head. Fiona.
Teenage love is more so lust. 100% true.
100%. I'm going to give you that.
I wonder how many people I've said I love you to in my life.
One guy, I love him.
One?
I've had multiple boyfriends, yeah.
Yeah.
College.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people throwing love bombs at you, but you only gave it one time. Fair. I would say I'm in a similar position where I've said it way more than, like, in junior high, I was.
You're like,
I love you, and I love you, and I love you.
I love you, nice school. And I love you.
Yeah.
Oh, James, that's funny. Fiona the big feline. That's good.
All right. So staff at tasteofcountry.com, or drop a comment in the YouTube section there if you have a question, comment, conspiracy theory for next week.
You want to talk about some music?
Just one song of note this episode as I take a brief pause to give Addison time to collect her thoughts and prepare the close for the show. We'll have a good streak going here. And also while I find the song, while Carter was pouring his heart out to Oriana, only to get to a response that says something like, "Yeah, not so much." We heard a song called Ramble On Man by Charlie Murray. Very good song. I suggest you go listen to it. But that was really the only song of substance in this episode. This show hasn't been as music-friendly as I thought it would be. Like, we got a lot of songs and some live performances early. We knew Morgan Wade, country singer, was going to be the bartender, and we haven't seen her in several weeks. It's been about one, maybe two shows an episode so far, which is a little bit surprising. But good songs.
Alrighty, y'all. Well, the Dutton Rules Yellowstone Franchise podcast is another fine-tooth combing Town Square Media. You gonna
say
anything?
We love you too, Rachel. This will make a lot of sense when you see this. Thank you very much for watching and listening.
Bye, y'all.